Some Democrats in Congress would like to undo a decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. The decision barred people from suing the makers of high-tech medical devices like implantable defibrillators if the devices are approved by the Food and Drug Administration. Patient groups say the inability to sue when devices are defective essentially gives the makers a free ride. Here's NPR's Joanne Silberner.
Legislation has been proposed in both the House and Senate that would give people back the right to sue medical device manufacturers in state courts. Earlier this week, the trade group for the device manufacturers, which opposes the legislation, brought people with real-life stories to Capitol Hill. One of them was Adam Hammond, a strapping 26-year-old who retired from the Army after a parachuting accident.
I had a small parachute malfunction that slammed me into the ground going in excess of 45 miles an hour.
He woke up after 6 weeks in a coma to find that he had broken his back, tailbone, pelvis, right hip, and femur. He was in enormous pain.
Oh, on a scale of 1 to 10, my pain was probably a 20.
Hammond was on methadone and handfuls of Vicodin and Valium, but still couldn't walk more than a quarter of a mile. He was the first person to receive a new treatment for pain, an implanted device that scrambles the pain signals to the brain so that where he once was in agony, all he feels now is a slight tingling. Hammond doesn't want anything to get in the way of new devices like his coming on the market. He goes along with the Supreme Court's ruling. If a product is FDA approved, that's good enough and people shouldn't be able to sue. Brett Loper of the medical device trade group AdvaMed says letting people sue medical device manufacturers could shut down innovation.
I think if you were to upset that innovation ecosystem, you could certainly have a situation where instead of pursuing the real breakthrough technologies, that you would instead find sort of simple singles and doubles, to use the baseball analogy, instead of swinging for the fences.
But Bridget Robb says consumers need protection beyond the FDA's seal of approval. Robb described her problems at a hearing held yesterday by a House of Representatives committee.
On December 31st, 2007, I suffered greatly and thought I was going to die because of a defective heart device implanted in my body.
She felt like a cannon was going off in her chest. The wire that led from an implanted defibrillator to her heart had broken and was firing erratically. The manufacturer, Medtronic, had recalled the device 3 months before, but only after receiving thousands of complaints over several years. After the hearing, Robb said she was testifying, so what happened to her wouldn't happen to anyone else.
When companies know that there's something wrong with a product that they have made, there needs to be some sort of incentive to pull the product off the market and not be able to continue to sell it just because it's FDA approved.
Robb was invited to the hearing by a co-author of the House legislation, New Jersey Democrat Frank Pallone. He says it's not right to keep people from suing for damages, and he's not worried about the medical device industry.
For so many years, tort actions were brought in state courts, and the industry thrived. So I just don't buy it. I don't think that makes any logical sense.
The chances for Pallone's legislation and the matching bill in the Senate are up in the air. Joanne Silberner, NPR News, Washington.
Here's one idea lawmakers are considering to pay for an overhaul of health care: a 3-cent tax on soda, or depending on where you are in the country, pop, as well as drinks like Gatorade and alcohol. The idea came up at a Senate Finance Committee hearing yesterday. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that a soda tax could generate as much as $24 billion for the federal government in the next 4 years, which sounds like a lot until you remember that a health care bill could cost up to $1.5 trillion.